Hello there, thanks very much for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's your weekly fix of golf chat and tips from The Racing Post. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer reviewing four tournaments last week. Loads going on last week. And we've got two crackers this week. Looking at the field for the American tournament, I'm pretty sure it's elevated, designated and various other things. Massive prize money there. All the stars are out. And we've also got a decent European tournament as well. Don't forget, if you enjoy the show, do please like by hitting that thumbs up. Subscribe, share, and of course, let us know your comments. See if you can tip the winner. We'll see if Steve can tip some winners this week. But first, we'll review last week. And Steve, 2 weeks ago, I was slightly alarmed that you said you should have punched yourself in the face about something. You made some sort of, you didn't tip a golf you should have done. And this week, kind of found my fist heading towards my face. And you know why? Pablo blooming Larrazabal, the winning machine. We said, didn't we, just back Pablo Larrazabal every week. He just keeps doing it. And there he was, winning the KLM Open by two shots at 55-1. I jumped on very late at a single figure price, but that's almost worse, you know, when you've missed that 55. So, I mean, he's a winning machine, this guy.
And he's won at a big price again. You're right. Yeah, 55-1. I think you should be hung, drawn and quartered. I think
we should
both be hung, drawn and quartered. There's no excuses. I mean, I thought it was a big ask after the USPGA. I had four rounds in the USPGA, long flight over from New York. But, you know, red herring. I mean, when he shot Friday 73, I thought, you know, I'm going to get away with it. I felt vindicated after the Friday 73, perhaps a bit of jet lag in the system, but 67, 69 over the weekend. And the key probably is the lack of competition, isn't it? I mean, he's winning. He's won nine DP World Tour titles now. He's, you know, it didn't take much winning, did it, that tournament? I thought there was some, I was really unimpressed with all the golfers other than Pablo Larrazabal on Sunday. The quality of golf was poor. And Pablo took advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these fields, they're the same people week in, week out. And he just duffs them up every so often, doesn't he? The one thing I would ask you, Steve, is there a particular type of course where he's particularly effective? Or can he win regardless of, you know, whether it's Fiddly or Bombers Paradise?
No, he's really versatile. Yeah, he's won on all types of course all over the world. Just that competitive spirit gets him through. No, you should stick to that policy. You know, he's going to get the 10th one. He's going to get the 10th DP World Tour title at some point, isn't he? It could come literally anywhere. And isn't, yeah, the great passion, isn't he? I mean, the DP World Tour chiefs must love having him, you know, back on their circuit because, you know, he loves it, doesn't he? He loves it.
Well, a lot of golfers, when they do get into contention, do start, you know, finding the pulse quicken and the adrenaline kicking in. But he relishes that battle. So I think that winning quality is one of the most important things punters need to have on their side. And Steve, I mean, I look back in Wednesday's Racing Post where you do those brilliant comments for every player, and you gave him a really, really big up. So he must have been reasonably close to being on the shortlist, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's just the trip from the USPGA. I just stupidly ruled out anyone who had those four grueling rounds in the USPGA. It showed up. Look at Victor Perez. He played really well in the USPGA and finished 12th in the USPGA and then was rubbish last week. He just looked like a jaded golfer. You know, different players react differently to those situations. But, let's not hung, draw and quarter ourselves. Okay. Let's dust ourselves down and learn from it. Learn from your mistakes, Bruce, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the lesson there is back Pablo Larrazabal every single week. How's your spirits anyway? We haven't done pleasantries, have we? Are you all right?
Golf up and down. We'll go for each tournament. Yeah, a couple of tournaments were really disappointing. Yeah, the LIV Golf DC was pivotal. But yeah, spirits.
What about life? Anything
yeah,
nice?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're always trying to encourage me to separate the two things, don't you? Don't let golf dominate your entire, you know, life judgments. And I would say life's going okay. I went to an Oasis tribute act on Saturday evening with my daughter. I was probably in the top five. I often say this, I'm probably running out of places. I think it was in the top five evenings I've ever had. Going to an Oasis tribute act on Weymouth Harbour with my daughter, introducing her to the Oasis vibe, and I said it used to be like this, but much, much better. And I'm focused now on in my retirement. I'm going to form an Oasis tribute act. That's my new plan.
Did they have one of those clever names? Like Noasis or some of those tribute bands have a really clever sort of twist on the actual band that they were.
They do, or really, really, really unclever twists, just putting another S on the end. I think this one might have been Oasis with another S on the end. I'm not quite sure what they were called.
But they were good, were they?
they were good, and that's going to be my life going forward.
Were you Blur or Oasis back in the day?
I was Oasis, yeah. I disassociated with myself with anyone who liked Blur. My sister liked Blur, and our relationship has never really recovered. Yeah.
I better not tell you I've got tickets for Blur in Wembley in July. A beautiful relationship would be all over. But I just liked both. I didn't see why you had to choose both particularly. But anyway.
We digress.
Back to the golf. And let's see what happened in America. It was the Colonial, wasn't it? Probably Michael Block. That fairy tale ended. I think he propped the field up at halfway, but fair play to him. Good lad. And he's had a lot of fun and made a name for himself. But at the business end, Emiliano Grillo emerged victorious in a pretty scrappy, dramatic finish. I mean, that was just mad, wasn't it? At 18, he had a two-shot lead, carved his drive out to the right if you didn't watch it, and it ended up in this kind of weird gully. It looked like a kind of drainage gully for a kind of concrete path. And his ball sat in the middle of this and just trickled back for endlessly for about 10 minutes. It was really weird. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Anyway, he's ended up making double bogey, gets into a playoff with who was he getting to play with?
Adam Shank,
yeah. And won it with a fairly, I'd say it was a fairly lucky approach to the par three, wasn't it? It was about an inch from going in the bunker, but instead it hit a verge and went straight towards the hole. He probably would have won it anyway because Shink didn't play it very well. But I thought the best bit about it was while Grillo was on the range, because he finished early, there was a small lad was on the other side of the fence watching him, you know, serenely and quietly hit balls. And he invited him over, didn't he? Picked him up, lifted him over the fence and encouraged him to hit some shots. And it was really nice. And the kid was really courteous, wasn't he? A little hug at the end. And then he went out and won the playoff. Moments like that elevate some of these tournaments from, you know, just another routine event to something fairly special, don't they? Wasn't it lovely?
I think you're absolutely right. It was a heartwarming moment. It was a pair of brothers, actually. He had a younger brother that was floating about. He was a bit more shy. But yeah, he was referring to Emiliano as Sir, wasn't he? Wonderful manners. And later on, he invited those two back in the locker room afterwards and gave them signed gloves.
Did he? I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah, there's more coverage on Tinternet if you want to have a look. But yeah, all credit to Emiliano, because his brain would have been frazzled after that double bogey. And then he decided just to switch his brain off from golf and get the kids over. And he became a father 14 months ago. You see, he's loving life as a new father. And that was a heartwarming moment. We had a heartwarming moment in the senior PGA. But yeah, in terms of the golf, yeah, just again, really unimpressive. I thought that the DP World Tour event, everyone was deeply unimpressive. And then in this one, everyone was just capitulating, wasn't it? I know it was firm, fast. Yeah, Colonial was playing firm and fast and tricky. But aside from Scottie Scheffler and Ricky Fowler, everyone was so loose. And Grillo, it wasn't just that shot in the playoff. Loads of lucky breaks. The 14th hole, the ball got spat out of the trees. He had a terrible drive there. Everyone just seemed to be playing so poorly. And at one point, I thought Fowler might even win. Just creeping up the leaderboard, everyone going the other way. We had heartwarming moments. That's the key. Yeah, the Steve Stricker. I don't know whether you were following that.
Can we go on to the Steve Stricker heartwarming moment in a minute? Because I did just want to say that if I'd been presenting last week's show, when you tip Ricky Fowler, my eyebrows would still be stuck on the ceiling up there. But he got the full place in the end, didn't he?
He played really well on Sunday and finished sixth. I needed that full place return the way it was going.
Well, just quickly before we move on to the other two tournaments, can you just talk to me about Harry Hall, this Cornishman who's kind of burst onto the scene? He looks half decent, doesn't he? What's his story? Is he someone who might... Do you know what I did yesterday, which might be silly, and you may well chide me for it, but I backed him at 14-1 to make the Ryder Cup team, the European Ryder Cup team. I just think there's a lot of fairly... There's a big seven, but I think there's going to be some fairly uninspiring players in that team. And I just wonder whether if Hall could get a win under his belt between now and September, whether he might just sneak on. What do you think? Stupid bet?
I'm not in the business of chiding anyone, I've moved on from that. I don't know. It's not for me. I don't think he's going to get that win. I don't think he's going to get that win. I think he was really edgy. I mean, he putted really well, to be fair to him, didn't he? He held his nerve on the greens. He's got a silly hat. Obviously, we have to rule him out of.
It's a flat cap, wasn't it?
It's a silly hat. We have to be honest. It's a silly hat. I can't have Harry Hall on my mind.
Okay, fair enough.
I used to like the comedian. What's he called? Harry Hill, is it?
Harry Hill. That? Yeah, with the big, yeah.
Big collar. Yeah, I liked him. I'm not going to charge you, but I wouldn't have had that bet.
Okay, mate. Fair enough. I probably should have consulted you first via SMS. Never mind. Steve Strickland, Padre Harrington, of course, were foes in the 2021 Ryder Cup. They were the captains, and they're having all sorts of ding-dongs on the golf course now. It started in Regions Traditions, and then last week in the US Seniors, it was those two at the head of affairs again, went to a playoff. And I mean, the one thing about last week, and I echo what Jack said, Jack said that he would have assumed that one of the tips you'd have put up last week would have been Padre Harrington for that.
Yeah.
And thank goodness you didn't. Tell us what happened in the playoff.
You're in such good form. I can see you've raised you. You actually said Regions Tradition. You must have done some research this week. Very rare.
That was just pure luck.
I'm so impressed with that. The golfers didn't impress me last week, but you're impressing me now.
The same Regions
Tradition? Which is just, you're just sharp. You're on your game.
I had a nice week in Spain. I feel rejuvenated.
Yeah, it does do that to you, doesn't it? And you got your reflow jacket on there.
Do you think
I see.
Reflow or reflow? I think it's reflow.
Yeah, I think it's reflow.
This is from the Ed Chamberlain Golf Day I played at the Belfry the other week. It's a nice bit of schmutter, this, isn't it? Eh?
That's a nice bit of schmutter. Yeah, that's an excellent word. Almost as good as chide. I'm excited about the Round Belly Circuit. I'm really enjoying the Round Belly Circuit. Yeah, I think we could see some history this year the way Steve Stricker's going. He's on for the Grand Slam, of course. You know, two down, Regions Tradition, two down, three to go.
They have five majors now.
They have five majors. And this is a
fifth. Did they just make their unofficial fifth major official?
Yeah, pretty much. Remember, this is a 56-year-old man. I'm not entirely sure how old you are, Bruce. Yeah,
56.
56.
I am 56.
Seek some inspiration from this.
Yeah, I am. I'm swinging better than ever myself.
Yeah. And Steve Stricker is as well. And he could go for it. And will he have Izzy Stricker? Did you see? This is the heartwarming thing. Izzy Stricker was on the bag for the first time ever. Yeah, Izzy Stricker caddied for Steve Stricker last week for the first time ever.
Is that his daughter?
That's his youngest daughter. She's 17 years of age. And he had a few concerns early in the week. She was a bit slow and a bit sluggish. Obviously this generation lacks the work ethic of previous. I saw some footage in practice rounds, and he's like standing on the tee and he can't find it. So there was a bit of early week banter
on Instagram, was she, to her mates while he was waiting for his club.
Yeah, there was a bit of early week banter, and it didn't look good for Stricker. But yeah, that what a wonderful tale. There wasn't a dry eye in the Stricker family on Sunday.
I didn't know that. I'll have to see if I can review some footage of the weekend. But of course, it was farcical, wasn't it? Because poor old Pod at the playoff, he went into the bush, didn't he? Then, rather than take his medicine, decided to have a hack and moved it about 20 yards even deeper in, didn't he? So that was when I...
A lot went on. I mean, he hit one of the greatest woods in the history of golf to try and salvage a miracle par, but didn't hold the putt. But I mean, just to whet your appetite further about this potential Stricker slam. Bernard Langer won three of the five majors in 2017. That's the closest we've come in the modern era. And then Jick Nicklaus.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
You've heard of him. He won three of four in 1991. So they're the two we've come close to seeing this senior slam. And the icing on the cake of this appetite whetting is that the next major is being held in which state?
Well, probably Steve Stricker's home state, but I don't know where that is.
Wisconsin, yes.
Where's the Seniors Open, British Seniors Open this year?
Oh, your mate Jack Reeves, he's going to that.
Where is it? Port Call.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. Port Call.
Yeah. Oh, wow, so, that'd be good.
Yeah, so basically Round Belly's golf is taking
over.
Did you say
my mate, Jack Reeves?
Well, our mate. Yeah.
He started off as your mate.
He's our mate. You met him before I met him. That's what I meant.
So what? Yeah,
no, he's our mate. Of course he's our mate. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay. I said
And finally, that is very exciting, Stephen. Finally, in Live DC, Harold Varner, it was his turn to win, and he achieved the notable feat of being the third to win in the long and illustrious history of Live, didn't he? After Charles Howell, of course. So, heartache for you, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, heartache for me. I mean, again, I was unimpressed with Varner. I was unimpressed with Grillo. I was unimpressed with Varner. I mean, he held a really difficult bunker shot early in the round. That was the key moment. He held a bunker shot, which everyone was expecting him to take all sorts of shots from. He had a good drive at the final hole, to be fair, to set up that decisive birdie. But he admitted in his media conference afterwards, he chunked the approach. He couldn't believe he got a forward bounce. And then he had a two-putt birdie from there to pit Brandon Grace. Yeah, Brandon Grace lost by a shot. You know,
he was a 40-1 tip, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, he played really, really well. Really, really, really.
Would that have
really
been a bacon saver for the week for you?
Oh, it would have been. Yeah, it would have been. It was pivotal. Yeah, it's winning week or losing week. But Brandon Grace, keep him in mind. He's playing good golf.
All right, mate. Anything else to take from last week, or should we look ahoy?
No, just we better look ahoy. I don't know if I'm getting grumpy in my old age, but I was just so unimpressed with everything last week.
I quite enjoyed it. I'm sorry you were so down about it. Let's see if this week's action enthralls you a little bit more. We'll start with the Memorial Tournament in America. And like I say, elevated, what's the other word for it?
Designated.
So lots of big names in action. Here is the latest state of the market. So I need their bins on for this. Scotty Scheffler, favourite 13-2, John Rahm 7-1, Patrick Cantlay 10-1, Xander Schauffele 12, Rory McIlroy 14, Victor Hovland 18, Morikawa 22, and it's 25 bar. Shop around as ever for best prices and best place terms. I had to long that out, that, because you swigged just as I was coming to the end of it. So
it's a long that out. Is that street talk?
Yes, sorry, it is. Yeah, I pick up all these expressions from my daughter.
I'm impressed.
Okay, right then, without further ado, Steve, tell us all about the Memorial Tournament.
It's at Muirfield Village, Dublin, Ohio. 7,571 yards now. It's slightly extended this year. Par 72, four par fives, a famous Jack Nicklaus design. It's hosted this event since 1976. The 2013 President's Cup was staged there too. And we must also mention the one-off 2020 Workday Charity Open, which bolstered the PGA Tour schedule just after the COVID-19 suspension. As with most Nicklaus designs, generous fairways, but difficult approach shots to heavily guarded greens, accurate iron play, the key to success. Five of the last 11 winners of this event finished first for greens in regulation. Weather forecast, amazing, sunny, warm, calm. Temperatures peaking at 32°C. Couldn't be more ideal. A field of 120 going to post, $20 million in the pot, designated elevated 3.6 million to the winner.
Marvelous. Nice one, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. So, how many tips have you got?
Three.
Okay, lead on with your leading fancy.
It is Jonathan Rahm, who is easy to back at 7-1.
Is he actually called Jonathan?
I guess all Johns are called Jonathan, and this
course,
is a great...
What, J-O-N's?
J-O-N's, yeah.
I think, yeah, most... Yeah,
can't
yeah.
believe I don't know this, but...
While you are doing that, I'll check on his full name. But yeah, might not be the case for a Spaniard. Right, but anyway,
fair point. Yes, I fully expect Jonathan Rahm to bounce back from a disappointing USPGA Championship. We didn't fancy him for that. He's got a poor record in that part of the world. Didn't think he'd thrive in the New York atmosphere. And he had some serious temper tantrums in that event. He smashed up a microphone, a greenside microphone. He had a spat with a cameraman. The old hothead Rahm was suddenly back after a long time away. We hadn't seen that Rahm for a while. He lost his head early in the USPGA. He ended the week in 50th place. I think the main reason for Rahm getting so angry in that tournament is he probably felt he had a chance of the 2023 Grand Slam. He won the Masters. The USPGA was leg two. He'd been playing so well this year. I genuinely think he fancied his chances. He made a terrible start, went bananas. It didn't happen. I suspect that we'll see a much more relaxed Rahm this week. I think he's going to win his fifth PGA Tour title. Rahm adores Muirfield Village. When he's asked to name the time that he felt most in control on a golf course, the time that he felt totally invincible. He always says the 2021 Memorial. I'm sure you'll remember the 2021 Memorial. Rahm was 18 under par through three rounds, 69, 65, 64, playing golf from the gods, six shots clear with a round to go. Then what happened? He tested positive for COVID-19,
right. Yeah,
had to withdraw. Absolutely gutted he was. Because he said that was as good as he's ever played golf. This course brings out the best in Jonathan Rahm. He was the defending champion that week. Don't forget, he won the 2020 Memorial by three shots. He was 10th last year. So if you consider that 2021 event as a victory for Rahm, you know, the world and his wife knows he would have won that golf tournament. His form figures for the last three Memorials are 1-1-10. This time he tees up with more self-belief than he's ever had since that COVID drama in 2021. He's become a major champion. Last month he won the Masters. You know, Jack Nicklaus getting a lot of mentions this week. He says Rahm is the closest thing we've got to a modern day Tiger Woods. I think Jack is probably right, if I may call him Jack. I think he's probably right. And I think what he's getting at there is the desire, the hunger. You know, Rahm seems to be more driven than the other members of the elite. I don't think many people would argue with that. He's big on legacy. He's big on the history of the game. I think his reaction to that USPGA flop will be a really successful summer. The winning streak will continue. He's won six of his last 16 tournaments, Bruce. I mean, come on. Mm. And he's third in the PGA Tour strokes gained on approach statistics, which is the most important stat this week. Only 120 runners, 7-1 more than fair.
Good. Very strong case. Yeah, he's actually called John Rahm Rodriguez.
Oh, of course.
Spanish people have that. They have that extra surname, don't they, that they don't tend to use, but it sort of appears sometimes in their long name.
Yeah, all credit.
I need to look into that, actually. But anyway, yeah, he's just J-O-N Rahm.
Right, so you can't call him Jonathan any.
Well, you can call him what you like, but I mean, yeah, he's John. Right, okay. Then, who's the second tip?
It is Colin Morikawa at 22-1, who lies first on the key stat, first on the PGA Tour strokes gained on approach statistics. It's a very brave man who argues that Morikawa is not the best iron player in the world. Are you prepared to argue that?
I'm not prepared to argue that, but I do think he needs to buck his ideas up in other areas of his game, don't you?
Okay, well, that's a separate argument. Yeah, let's keep it civil.
Do you not think he needs to buck his or pull his socks up, maybe?
yeah.
One or the other.
Let's blame it all on his socks. But approach play is by far the most important department for Muirfield Village success. And Morikawa is already a course winner. He won that 2020 Workday Charity Open there, beat Justin Thomas in a playoff. That was his Muirfield Village debut. The following year, he lost a playoff at Muirfield Village to Patrick Cantlay for the 2021 Memorial. So we know he loves this track. He's been in rock-solid ball-striking form all year. Runner-up at Kapalua, third at Torrey Pines, sixth at Riviera, 13th at Sawgrass, 10th at Augusta. I feel like a win is coming soon. And last week, he was excellent at Colonial, apart from the ninth hole. On the ninth hole, he had a nightmare. He finished 29th in the tournament, level par for the tournament, eight shots off the pace. He was 7 over par for the ninth hole, which is a short par four. You know, four pars on that hole. He'll finish a shot outside the playoff. On the other 17 holes, he was superb. He just had problems with that night. He's playing well. Keep the faith in Morikawa.
Okay. Talking of hosiery, Steve, well, we were noticing in Spain that young lads, when they're wearing trainers and shorts, tend to have a longer sock these days. What do you favour? Did you wear shorts to the Oasis tribute night?
That's a good question.
Well, if you're walking
I like a short sock. Yeah, I've noticed the long socks have come in.
Mm, I mean, not for me that.
You see long socks with those slider things, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's frankly ridiculous in my
opinion. I agree. Yeah. I mean, that's something we would have chided years ago, even you with your non-chide policy. Yeah.
If that's considered cool these days, then
drop out of fashion.
Coolness has gone out the window. Yeah.
Right. We've got Rahm, we've got Morikawa, and we've got a third selection who is Ricky.
The final one's a player who's been winning fortunes. He's been winning fortunes for sensible punters this year. Eight times he has obliged for top 20 finish backers. Last week, he delivered a full each way return for anyone backing him each way, getting eight places or more in the Charles Schwab. Nobody goes into battle with less than eight places these days, do they? I am, of course, referring to Rick Yutaka Fowler. Just to provide a little bit of variance, the same Ricky Fowler. I'll give him his full name. Rick Yutaka Fowler.
But nobody. What's his middle name? Yutaka?
Yutaka.
Is it?
Yutaka. Japanese granddad. Japanese granddad.
I didn't know that.
He's got an interesting backstory. Yeah.
And don't try and divert from the fact that you're following this bloke off a cliff. And
he's not Ricky. He's Rick. You talk about Jonathan. His real name is Rick. Nobody in the Charles Schwab Field bettered the 67 that Fowler carded on Sunday. You know, lesser men were capitulating on a firm, fast colonial. You know, Fowler showed his class, tied for sixth place. The game's back, the confidence back. He's ninth in the PGA Tour strokes gained on approach statistics. He was second on his Memorial debut in 2010, when he was ranked 52nd in the world, I might add. This week, he tees up as world number 46 and rising. He's a two-time Memorial runner-up. Yeah, I think only a madman goes into battle without Rick Yutaka on their side this week. I do. 40-1, perfectly fair price. He's won elite golf tournaments. He's not scared.
I mean, you would have made money backing him last week. And there were a few people on the comment section last week who were like, oh, they did the old face palm emoji, didn't they? So, you know, you had the last laugh there, don't you?
It was a cozy each way return. And I think he's, you know, we know he can win elite event. He's won the Players' Championship. You must remember he's winning the Players' Championship.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's just spectacular golf in a high-pressure situation. Yeah, I think he can win in a designated elevated event.
Is this his last chance?
Probably not, no.
All right, no, fair enough. No. Okay, right then. Did Scheffler come close to being tipped? We better discuss him, obviously, because he's fab, isn't he?
Yeah, he is fab. It's fourth week on the spin, you know, including a major. You know, it's been a very hectic schedule. Byron Nelson, USPGA, Charles Schwab Memorial. He must be running low on energy. He's still not
putting. He doesn't have a spring in his step at the moment, does he? He looks a little bit less sort of cheery than. I wouldn't call him cheery, but maybe sort of amiable. He looks like this amiable these days, doesn't he?
I'd agree with that. He was with Amanda Baliones. Well, that's not a name anymore. Amanda Renner. And you're right, he did seem a little bit frustrated with a couple of her questions. So, he seems a bit tetchy. I think he's a bit tired. He's not putting well. He can't find an answer to his putting. I mean, he's just not getting reward for amazing tee to green play. 13-2, no appeal. I mean, Patrick Cantlay, your favourite Patrick Cantlay at 10-1 is hugely tempting. You know, I spent ages weighing up 10-1 Cantlay. 7-1 Rahm. Yeah, one of those two was going to be carrying my main stake this week. And I just decided that the most important factor of all was the fact that Rahm has won four times this year. Cantlay has won zero times this year.
Exactly. There's no brainer. I wouldn't back Cantlay at tens against Rahm at sevens. I mean, you're the expert, but all these Cantlays and Schefflers and Thomas and all this lot, they're all sort of up the top of the market every week. They don't win anymore, which means they will this week.
Cantlay is a two-time Memorial champion, you see, but you must make the point that the second of those wins probably got the biggest asterisks in the history of sport alongside. You know, if Syria, you know, an asterisk the size of Jupiter, because obviously that was the one where John Rahm had to pull out with COVID. So, Cantlay, I think, is the biggest danger to Rahm, but I think you prefer Rahm at those prices.
You probably best off saying an asterisk the size of a starfish than Jupiter.
Ah.
They're different shapes, aren't they? But.
Yeah, is there anything bigger than a starfish? Because they're not particularly big, are they? I need something bigger than that. Something for the comments section. Yeah, that's a little challenge for the commenters there. What's the biggest
thing? An asterisk as big as a dot.
Come
right
on,
then. The DP World Tour circus moves on to Germany, and it's the Porsche European Open. Here are the prices. Victor Perez and Rasmus Højgaard, 18-1 joint favourites. Jordan Smith, 20-1. Robert McIntyre, 22, along with Alexander Bjork. Torbjørn Olsen, 25. Yannick Paul, 25. Antoine Rosner, 25. 28 Campillo, 30 bar. Same old faces. No Larrathabout in the field. So, Steve, tell us all about the venue before we get your selections.
It's the North Course, Green Eagle Golf Course, is Hamburg, Germany. Host for this event from 2017 onwards, 7,457 yards on the official scorecard, but it can play longer than that from back tees. It's a par 73 with six par fives.
Crumbs.
I repeat, six par fives, only seven par fours. It's a beast of a track. Water is in play on 17 holes. and the greens have got more rolls than the bakery. So it's a tough test for this field of 156. A bit of breeze on Thursday, calm for the remainder of the event.
What do you like, accuracy, power or touch?
I want a combination of all three, if I may. But yeah, for short hitters, this is a real slog of a course. You know, you'd hate playing this golf course.
How many selections?
Five.
Five. Lovely stuff. Right then. Are you doing that just to avoid the four, to avoid irking your larynx?
Yeah. I can't ever tip four players again. You know, I find it too traumatic.
You're perfectly at liberty to just go four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just do it. It's not that funny anymore, is it, really? No, it never was, but more trouble than it's worth, actually. Just go back.
I will. I'm glad I'm at liberty, Nash.
Of course you are. You can do whatever you like, mate. Right then, who's your number one fancy for the European Open?
It's Yannick Paul at 28-1, who I think is made for this assignment. You know, wonderfully consistent ball striker, a greens in regulation machine, long enough to handle this monster. This is obviously a home game for him. He's a Frankfurt man. He's a Frankfurter. He won his maiden DP World Tour title last year. He made his first cut in a major last time out in the USPGA. He was second in the Thailand Classic in February. He was second in the Indian Open. I think this is a 29-year-old who is still improving, still climbing the world rankings. He's about to break into the world's top 100. Not got a pretty swing, but he's a real flusher. And I think that makes him a must for the Green Eagle staking plan. He made his debut in this tournament last year and finished 18th. Much more confident these days. I think he's going to send the home galleries wild if the Germans ever go wild.
Lovely stuff, Yannick Paul. Number one selection. Who's the number two selection?
Antoine Rosner, also 28-1. Similar sort of player to Yannick Paul. Another really consistent ball striker. Got that blend of accuracy and power that we need this week. He's a 30-year-old with three DP World Tour titles under his belt. The latest of those came just before Christmas in the Mauritius Open. He's been a regular on the DP World Tour leaderboard since then. Sixth in Singapore, fifth in Thailand, third in the SDC Championship in South Africa. He's just in rock solid nick. 29th in the KLM Open last week. He was 51st on his European Open debut last year. I expect much better this time. Yeah, I think Yannick Paul, Antoine Rosner, rock solid each way bets.
Next up,
Nicholas Nogard, 40-1, keeping the faith with the artist formerly known as Nicholas Norgard Muller. He made plenty of birdies again last week, four consecutive rounds of 71 for 21st place. That backed up 23rd spot in the Italian Open previous time out. Yeah, this lad, he looks like a DP World Tour champion in the making to me. And what better track to make that breakthrough than the North Course at Green Eagle? You know, Norgard, one of the most effortlessly powerful players on the circuit, six par fives, licking his lips. He finished 10th on his European Open debut last year. So, yeah, I expect fireworks from Norgard.
Jolly good. Two to go. Who's the fourth fancy?
Two to go, jockeys! Matty Schmidt. Matty Schmidt. How can you turn down 75-1 Matty Schmidt? I don't even think it's possible. He's the second German in my staking plan this week. A 25-year-old. He scraped a PGA Tour card last year through the Korn Ferry Tour finals. So he's got a PGA Tour rookie season. Yeah, this year he's not going that well. It's a tough test for anyone, PGA Tour rookie season. He was sixth in the American Express in January, a really good starter, but he's found it hard to make an impact since. But last week you could see, you know, he had a sharp downgrade to the DP World Tour and the pressure lifted from his shoulders. It freed him up lovely. Closed with a 68, finished 21st in the KLM Open. This week he'll enjoy himself even more. You know, he's powerful, he's attacking. You see, this is a great opportunity on a long track in his home country. Two-time European amateur champion, don't forget. His pro career is going to take off at some point. I think it might be on Sunday.
Lovely stuff. And the final fancy.
Louis De Jager. 125-1, Louis De Jager. Another
debut as a sweet spot selection, isn't it?
Quite possibly. We've been in this game a long time. I think I might have thrown him in for a Sunshine Tour, you know, South African events here or there. But he's a really long driver. You know, he's a powerful attacking player, a 36-year-old South African, five-time winner on the Sunshine Tour, and ideally suited to the North Course at Green Eagle. He made his debut on this track in the 2019 European Open. Going into that tournament, he'd missed his last three cuts. He finished 12th at Green Eagle. He hasn't had a chance to tee up in this event since then. Finally gets that opportunity this week. And he's found his game at the perfect moment. He shot a fine around 69 in the KLM Open on Sunday. Only seven players in the field bettered that score. He finished 29th. I think he's a really lively outsider.
Okay, thanks, Steve. By the way, I was just noticing, I was nodding a bit more during that one. Do you like it when I nod or doesn't it matter? Do you monitor it?
I love being nodded at, yeah.
Yeah, because when a serious like news interviewer is interviewing someone, and occasionally they'll do that thing where they'll cut to a shot of the interviewer asking a question, and then when the interviewee is answering, they do a shot of the interviewer nodding. It's sort of to offer encouragement.
And I sometimes
I don't nod enough. I don't know. Would you rather I nodded more, less, or is it just about right?
I want you to nod much more. Yeah. I think because we're supposed to be working as a team, aren't we? Sometimes when you're just sort of staring at me like Hannibal Lecter, it really puts me off my stride, you know? you see the likes of Beth Rigby, all those sort of nasty. Beth Rigby, you sometimes Beth Rigby me.
Okay, I will do, yeah. And I get nice bright orange lipstick like Beth Rigby has. Okay. Brilliant.
Yeah, just be a bit nice. I just want people to be nice to me if that's
I'm not being nice when I sit more impassively. I'm still exuding niceness, but I will nod more in future. Okay, thanks for clearing that up.
Do you want free golf bets? Head over to racingpost.com/freebets now to claim all of the best offers from your favourite bookmakers.
Let's clear up who the eight players are that you've tipped this week. The Memorial Tournament.
John Rahm Rodriguez. Colin Morikawa. Rick Yutaka Fowler.
And the Porsche European Open, he said, name dropping the sponsor in a vain hope of getting some of their products turning up on the drive.
I almost bought a Porsche in a few years ago. Yeah. Because I had enough money. Yeah, I had enough money to buy a Porsche. I just got back together with Nicola. And then she convinced me to buy a house. And I'm still not sure what was the right decision. Yeah,
but I think the house will give you a little bit more use than the Porsche, mate. I'd really
be a bit cramped with the two kids in a Porsche rather. Yeah, it's probably the right decision. But hopefully they'll give us some Porsches. And if Yannick Paul wins, maybe we can buy one. Yannick Paul, Antoine Rosner, Nicholas Norgaard, Matty Schmidt, and Louis De Jager.
Marvellous stuff. Well done, Steve. Thank you very much for that. What's happening between now and next Tuesday when we reconvene?
It's a good question. And maybe going to the T20 Blast tomorrow night if I finish working time. Yeah, Mash is trying to get me to Hampshire versus Surrey. I've never been to a T20 Blast.
Oh, it's brilliant. You've got to go. It's great fun.
So that's on the agenda for tomorrow night. And then I may go on an owl hunt at the weekend. I've been enjoying my mate Keith is a big owl enthusiast. And he takes me on the owl hunt just as dusk falls, you see.
Oh, lovely.
It's amazing spots to see owls. Do you know what the most common owl in the country is?
Is it the tawny?
No, it's the teat.
Teat owl? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever hear an owl when you're lying in bed? I do occasionally. I love going to bed, particularly on a winter night.
I love a good owl.
I hear an owl hooting away.
Yeah. Sometimes you see the tea. Sometimes we get a tea towel in my kitchen, actually.
A tea towel in your kitchen? Most people do have a tea towel, yeah.
There's no such thing as a tea towel. Oh, the beauty.
Oh, my goodness.
Keith told me that joke, and I've just forwarded it on there. It's a fantastic joke, isn't it?
I fell for it, didn't I, first?
You did. Hook, line, and sinker.
I was like, a tea towel? I've never heard of that.
Go and tell that to someone.
Oh, my goodness. I feel so ashamed. All right, anyway.
It's the best medicine.
Yeah, it is. That sounds like a really good week. T20 cricket and then an owl watch and then settling down for some golf. So hopefully the tips will go well, Steve. We are back next week to preview the Canadian Open and the Scandinavian Mixed. So I hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, let us know who you fancy in the comments. Hit that thumbs up. Big thank you to producer Will Carey. Big thank you to you, Steve Palmer. But most of all, as always, thank you to our lovely Sweet Spot audience. We'll see you next week.